What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back for episode 100.
What?
Episode 100, yeah.
Well, damn, if I knew it was going to be a special episode, I would have gotten my hair done. I forget that we're even doing this. Like, I literally forget we're actually doing video now. We did 2 years of this with no video. You know, hey, we're recording that. I'm like, cool. I just rinsed out my conditioner. Oh,
right. Yes. And that's, you know what? That's partially on me as well. I had planned for a special guest to be on episode 100, but they didn't get back to me in time. And I didn't want to, because right now the way we're doing it is like every other week, you know, for reasons. And I was like, you know what? I'll just save them for later. And so, you know, we'll just go ahead and do this. Plus, there's a lot of stuff that we wanted to talk about this week. And so I was like, you know, we'll go ahead and do it. But I knew it was episode 100, but I was like, it's okay. I thought it was in and of itself is a big milestone because we've done this for 100 episodes, mm-hmm. which is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. I know a lot of people, even on podcasts that I was a part of prior to this one, we did not make 100 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, you know? And so the fact that we're still enjoying this and mm-hmm. a lot of extra cool stuff is happening, you know, with the show, I'm happy. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm you know, I'm proud, if you will, if that word is appropriate. But yeah, so just a quick catch up on what we've been doing this week. I finally finished God of War Ragnarok. Oh my gosh, that game is long. Like really long, and it's a good game. I think the story is decent. I think mm-hmm. the messaging with the characters and whatnot, seeing Kratos grow into a better human being better Lazy demigod. Better demigod is great, and his relationship with his son and everything. I think that it took way too long to get there, and because it's gamey, you know, we have to go from here to there, and in the midst of that, everything that could fall apart does. And you have to fight your way through. And even just like, you know, let's say if we compare this to, you know, mundane living, I have to go to the mailbox. Me going to the mailbox means I have to slay a dragon. That's what it felt like. Like everything that we had to do, side quests, you know, whatever the case may be, it was interrupted by a fight. And it just went on and on and on. But the last few chapters were really great.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated, you know, the writing and everything. And I also appreciate the fact that they didn't do a trilogy, although they could have. It's just the second game, and it's within the God of War, you know, because they have a bunch of games. But it's the second game within this storyline, and it's done. And I think that's really dope. They might have, like, some DLC or an expansion or something, but I don't have to play another game that's this freaking long. I'm pretty sure it's going to be long the next game just because this is what people pay for, apparently.
Yeah.
But I'm good. I don't need hours upon hours upon hours unless it's like Elden Ring, where I didn't feel the hours go by because it was so cool to just explore. This is mostly a linear experience for the most part that just drags. But finally, the credits rolled, which means hopefully I'll be able to play The Last of Us 2. I've had this game for like 2 years. Not out of the wrapper because games are long. And also, to be fair, every time a new game comes out, like for instance, Resident Evil 4 Remake is coming out this month. I'm probably going to start that before Last of Us 2 because I really like that game. Mm-hmm. And so that, and then plus work and all the other stuff, right?
Yeah.
Beyond that, I got to see, where did I go? I got to see Scream 6. And
is that what it
I
is?
Feel like.
Only Scream 6?
Yep, only Scream 6. And I feel like I enjoyed it. I liked the chemistry between the characters. Mm-hmm. It's still a silly film.
Mm-hmm.
The world is silly. People don't make sense. The things that they do, their choices, their reasoning behind the things that they do makes no sense. And I feel like it is now, with this entry, it has become the Fast and the Furious of horror.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that. I'm actually okay with it. I know what I'm getting when I go. I know I'm going to get, you know, this one was a little different in the sense that it was so brutal. I think the first one and this one are the most when it comes to like violent. Mm. Like they're just really, if you weren't looking for people to get stabbed, they get stabbed a lot and they get shot and they get thrown off of things. So it's kind of, it's horror, you know what I'm saying? But there's still comedic elements. There are still silly things. People don't seem to die when they should. There's a whole lot of wild stuff happening. And yeah, if you've seen the last few Fast and the Furious films, this is essentially what it is. And I'm okay with it. It's entertaining. It's not going to, unfortunately and fortunately, it's not going to elevate itself much. I don't think so.
They're making so much money off of what they do. So why change?
True. I make a better film, but you know,
clearly.
Facts. So yeah, if you're into Scream, if you like the previous Screams, I think you'll be into this one. They did a solid job within Screamdom, if you will. So definitely go check that out. But yeah, that has been, you know, what I've been doing as of late outside of writing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What have you been watching?
So I actually am very proud of myself.
Word.
I watched The Sandman.
Solid. I still haven't finished that.
Solid. And I am just going to say this. They stole Galt's character design from me.
Oh, where? Not from the comic?
Nope. And they drew the comic.
Word.
Word. I can't prove it. I can't prove it because, and you see the interruption and the passion.
Hermione agrees.
She agrees. Yep. My friend who did a galactic look on me years ago for a project for grad school for graphic design.
Yes.
Had done galactic makeup on me. It took hours, like literally hours. I don't think we finished until like 3 a.m. And then photographed me and made me the cover of her CD for her project. And
nice.
I'm telling you, when I saw Galt, I said, they stole my face. They stole my face. And I said, and I literally texted her and I said, do you have the digital copy of your project? And she's like, no, my zip drive crashed 5 years ago. Zip drive, you see? You see, I have the proof. I have the text message. Zip drive.
Right?
Derek Zoolander's father was using a zip disk.
See? That's how they get you, though. That's how they get you. Yep.
2003, 4-ish. I don't know when they drew Galt.
Oh, it was a while ago. It was definitely before, because I want to say they had the Sandman comic in Breaking the Fourth Wall. We went to VCU. They had it behind like a glass case in upstairs, the library upstairs, where they had a lot of like classic comics and everything, where you can kind of go and take a look. Don't touch, but take a look.
Right.
And I want to say they had it there. And I'd always plan to read it. Never got a chance, but I was like, oh, there's a show. I'll just watch the show. I know that's blasphemy. I know. I'm just saying. I'm busy. I'm busy. That's what I is.
We busy, yeah. But it was solid. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Word.
Like, yeah, I was, and I had to tell a friend because my friend's like, I don't like horror. And I said, don't worry. This is just dark fantasy. Like, I love dark fantasy. We love dark, like, you know this. I don't like horror. You love horror.
Right.
I am not a fan, but I love dark fantasy. Like,
how does that work? Like, how does it work?
Because this, I feel like the genres are different. Like, they have similarities because
horror
can have, you know, scary elements, and dark fantasies are going to have scary elements. But the purpose of a dark fantasy is not to scare you. The purpose of the dark fantasy is to tell a story. And also, some of the elements of dark fantasy are very magical. And when you are a regular human being, you don't necessarily believe in magic. And so you can differentiate, you know, magic from real life. And some horror is really just meant to mess with you in the, that's the idea. To scare someone, you have to get into their psyche. And the best way to do that is to have something relatable. Get Out, even though, again, I don't like horror, I love that movie because the story was amazing. but it also seemed realistic, even though it's psycho. It's crazy. You can't just remove people's brains and then just put another brain in a body, and it's not, that's not real.
Exactly.
But we believed it because it worked so well. With most horror, the idea is obviously, you know, there's gore and there's, but with Michael Myers chasing you down the street, you're like, yo, and you don't know anything about him. You're like, why is this man in a mask running after me, chasing me down the street? There's no explanation there. There's just life and death. Dark fantasy, on the other hand, dragons and magic, or maybe not dragons and magic, but just a whole new world that you have to like walk through a mirror to get to. And that kind of takes the scariness away from it.
I can see that.
It's more filling. It's more, I think it's literally just another method of storytelling that may have some scary bits to it.
I see. Yeah. I could take that. Cause like, I know my wife like is not a fan of certain genres, but then they'll have elements pulled in. It's like, oh, I can deal with this because I like A, B, and C.
Yeah.
And I get that. Cause horror, and granted, I like all of it, but like horror is, definitely it wants to disturb. It wants to bother you. It wants to, you know, like from classic horror to horror that's coming out now, you know, Jaws made people not want to get in the water forever in a day.
Yeah.
And Scream made you afraid to answer the phone. So it makes, it does mess with you. Whereas fantasy is like, that was dope. You saw him kill that dragon. Like it's a monster, but not in the same vein. I got you.
I'm not going to meet a hobbit. I'm never going to meet a hobbit. I'm never going to meet Sauron. Like, and I'm all about the, you know me, I like the villains. I'm like, yes, this is awesome. This is so cool. I'm never going to meet Ursula.
Right. Facts.
It's not gonna happen. But there might be a crazy person in my apartment building who might be playing on my phone.
True.
And if I watched The Orphan. This is actually the example I gave my friend. I watched The Orphanage, the Spanish version, Orfanato.
Yes.
I don't want to wake up and then see a silhouette of a child with a burlap bag over their head.
Yeah, that's some scary stuff.
Yeah.
And
you want to know what happened that day that I went to that movie? Okay. Because one of my evil friends, we went to that movie, got scared together. My friends like to make me go to the scary movies with them because I make jokes because I don't like being scared. And so I make everybody laugh. We go together. We watch this crazy movie. It's so good because, you know, it's in Spanish. And I swear, like, non-American horror movies are actually really decent. And I'm like, this is really messed up. But then it rains that night. We go home to our separate homes. You know, we live with our parents. She goes to her house. I go to mine. The power goes out that night. Text me. I said, man, the power's out. Why does this have to be the night the power goes out? That movie really messed me up. She texts me. I just think she's just text, you know, I'm like, a picture of the boy with the burlap bag over his head. That is the picture she texts me on a night when my power's out.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
So wrong. I did not sleep that night.
Terrible.
I have mental problems. I don't need to see horror movies.
I feel you. For me, and I have friends, matter of fact, Andre, who was a guest on our podcast a while back, does not rock with horror in any aspect, and it's hilarious to see him try to play scary games. It is the best thing ever. Shout out to him. But he was like, I don't understand why you guys like that. And for me, it's a little bit of the social commentary that comes with it. An easy one is Get Out, and then also the thrill of it. And I think, to be fair, I'm also a little desensitized because I've seen a ton, but the thrill that comes is similar to like a roller coaster. And interesting enough, I get the same thrill when I watch certain action films. So it's like putting yourself in there and like, what would I do? Or how would I get out of this and stuff like that? But I can totally understand. I remember when we went to see Lights Out, me and my brother, shout out to David F. Sandberg. And we were talking, we were standing outside the theater. We were talking, not noticing that everyone had left. So there's like no cars, just ours. And he had parked way away from me. And he's like, all right, I'm going to, you know, it's time to go because clearly it's getting dark out here. And tell me why, as he starts walking, the lights start flashing and then just go out.
You see?
So he kind of looked at me and like, it was like a recognition of like, we know this isn't happening for real, but just in case, I'm giving you the eye, just in case I have to run back your direction. Like, it's like, just in case, just, you know, we know it's not real, but if You know, we've seen too many horror movies. We both not getting got at the very least.
This is why the new, what is it? The Blackening. What's the, I mean, it's not really new. It's a, you know, it's kind of like a, what, extension remake of what they did a long time ago.
Yeah, short. Yeah.
The thing.
I'm looking forward to that.
I am. Yes. Because there's a reason why we don't do horror movies as Black people, because Black people have too much sense. And all the white people who made movies for all those years, you know, yeah, you have to only have the one Black person. You have to kill him first because the Black person can't. They're not going to do this.
No, it's going to be a nope and I'm gone. That's essentially what it is. That's, you know, so the fact that you have one that's coming out with an all Black cast, it's going to be great. Yeah. It's either going to be great or really, really bad. And I'm hoping it's leaning on the great. I'm really, really do. So far, the reviews have been good though. So I'm looking forward to that. But, so yeah, that is a little bit of our recommendations and such. Mm-hmm. This week we're going to be talking about a couple things. One of them being the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film. Mm-hmm. Because apparently people are upset about April O'Neil, and which is a shame because there's a lot of things to talk about in terms of this film outside of just April. Mm-hmm. Like the new you know, styling in terms of art, mm-hmm. like the animation. How the fact that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is still a thing.
Yeah,
for so long.
After all these years.
Right? Like Scooby-Doo. Like, it's not going anywhere. Like, you know, as Tess Lee's. It's not going anywhere. It's a constant. And I think that's pretty cool because it's not, what we're seeing isn't a, or at least what I assume is happening is that this isn't just a, we need to pump these out so we can keep the license type of thing. Mm-hmm. This is a, no, we like this property and we want to continue to make things for newer audiences, newer generations, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I seeing the development and the changes and things that happen, same thing with Scooby-Doo, even, mm-hmm. Even if you don't like the new things or they're not for you, shout out to Velma, unfortunately, if they're not for you, it's still interesting that they're, it's a franchise that's going on for so long, whereas other franchises have kind of died. And, you know, being that this came from a comic book and, you know, and so on and so forth. And so it's like all these different things you could talk about, how it's a new film, how it looks a little bit more mature, even though it's funny and funky and all this other stuff, how the cool animation and the fact that it's being produced by Seth Rogen and all this other stuff, all these interesting conversations you can have. And we're talking about April O'Neil. And what's interesting about that is that the people who are upset don't know like what race April was to begin with. Like, if you listen to the two creators, the co-creators of the comic, mm-hmm. one of them was like, at one point they decided that she was going to be of Asian descent. Mm-hmm. And then at another point they were like, you know what? We're going to change it to, you know, one person was like, I wanted to reflect his wife at the time, who was mixed. She was Black and white. Mm-hmm. And that's actually the design that they went with in the comic. You had the, you know, curly hair and everything and darker skin. Mm-hmm. And so when they asked them online recently, like, what did the co-developers or co-creators think? One of them said, well, I thought she was white at one point. The other one said, well, she was a Black woman. And neither one of them, they didn't really agree. And they even acknowledged the fact that the other person thought she was something else mm-hmm. at the time. They also acknowledged the fact that they were asked to change her for the
cartoon,
the toys and the cartoons, right? And so what that tells me is, because some people are like, well, see, you know, this creator said this. What that tells me is it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She's had multiple different backgrounds. Yeah. Outside of her meeting the turtles, there was no, she has to be this. The only thing that people are going on is April O'Neil from the show, from the cartoon. Mm-hmm. Other than that, if one creator says one thing, another creator says another thing, and then they had, even between them, they had a different view of her at one point. Mm-hmm. None of it matters. She's been, you know what I mean? She's been in this, what's even more wild, in the cartoons, the recent cartoons, she was Black.
Yeah,
so it's like,
what's the problem?
This is nothing new. This isn't new. And none of you really care. let's keep it a buck. You aren't going to go see it. Mm-hmm. You don't have kids that want to go see it. Mm-hmm. You are, as much as I can be like, you know, I don't know, the new My Little Pony isn't for me like it was back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not. It's not drawn the same. It's not whatever. Yeah. It's not for me.
It's not.
You're adults. It's not for you.
It's not.
Like, you've had your run. You've had plenty. It's generational. You've had plenty. Go watch those. Go relive that magic. Mm-hmm. But it's not for you.
Yeah.
You don't care for real. Yeah. You really don't care. You're just making a fuss because you don't want what you thought was a white character to be a black character because of a term that you don't actually understand. And that's not what this is. We just have a new design.
Right.
The turtles are different. They don't look the same. They're not even the same age as they were before. She looks different. Splinter looks different. Everybody's different.
Winter.
It's okay. It's all right. Yeah. I don't understand that. I mean, I get it. I understand why people are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand why we are talking about this versus everything else. All the other cool stuff that I mentioned before. Why are we talking about April?
People just want to be mad.
Like, I don't understand. You have plenty of white characters to like. Like, plenty.
Are people just mad that redheads are getting replaced? Maybe that's it. That's what it is. It's the redhead thing.
I don't know.
Becoming really, really obsessive over the redheaded characters because these people who are really pissed off just have redhead fetishes.
You know, that would be a nice thing to say. Like, that would be a nice, like, and I mean nice as in it's still bad, but at the very least is not, you know, overt racism. Like, one woman, and I'm not going to say her name or whatever, but she was saying that, you know, it's not even about her being black, is that she's fat and ugly. And I'm like, wow, you're not even trying to hide your disapproval or your, you know, fat shaming or you're not hiding anything. I'm like, she looks funky in a good way and she looks different and she's a little chunky, but that's not a bad thing. I thought she looked cool personally. She's not, you know, the older April, but we don't need that. These aren't the old turtles. So we don't need the old April. This is a different April. But she was just like, she's fat and like, you know, unattractive. And I'm like, why are you worried about how attractive a cartoon character is?
I'm like, what?
Again, not even the audience. You weren't going to see this movie anyways.
No.
You really weren't.
What's wrong with you?
I don't understand.
Evaluated.
Yeah. I was like, is it that deep? Is it really? And it's, you know, there's think pieces and people are posting all over Twitter and it's people are fighting. And I'm just like, I'm just going to bypass all of you guys. Just seriously. But. I don't.
Energy wasted. The amount of energy wasted. Why?
I don't know, but this happens all the time. It happens all the time. And then their defense is, what if this was a black character and it was getting replaced? The thing is, the reason, and you know the difference, the reason why this would be different is because we don't have as many. We haven't had as many. The fact that we can say things like, this is the first black woman to play blah, blah, blah. Or this is the first black man to do this. Or the first Hispanic character to do this.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we can say that is because there's been so many white characters. Matter of fact, it's not even like something to necessarily champion all the time. A lot of times when you see that, it's an indictment on the content. It's an indictment on the Hollywood studios or whatever. The fact that we can say this is the first after – this is 2023. The fact that we can say this is still the first –
yeah.
It's like, it should have been many firsts. Like, this should have been, you know what I mean? And so the fact that you can actually notice that a character was changed to black seems like there isn't enough black characters.
Yeah.
Because if a character is white, and that has happened, no one really cares because, like, oh, it's just whatever. Unless it's someone like the Black Panther, because then duh. But beyond that, it's like, eh. But when there's a black character is stepping into the role of, you know, I guess what a white character was, you know, previously playing, is like,
mm-hmm.
the sky is falling.
They're not ready for Nubia. The whole world can crash.
Fam, you know people were upset about, there was a post about the black Wonder Woman, right? Not realizing, they didn't realize that that character is in DC.
Exactly.
That Wonder Woman has a sister who's black because she's made from darker clay. They didn't know that. And they were getting upset. You're making her black and I don't allow that. And it's like, no, dog, she's been a character for years.
Forever.
Which makes me think that you don't really care. You didn't, no, you weren't reading the comics.
Until that day.
Right. And now you're upset. Like, why? Yeah. You know, you're not going to go buy the comics. Chill.
Ready, Nubia gonna show up, and then y'all gonna be like, you're in it.
I'm going to check it out. It drops August 4th, and it just looks cool. Like, I'm digging the artwork.
Yeah,
it's and as much as people want to say, it's similar to Into the Spider-Verse. I think that Into the Spider-Verse did some cool things.
Yep,
and I think people are drawing from that. In a sense that it doesn't look like Into the Spider-Verse. It looks like it was inspired by. Like, oh, they took a comic aesthetic and ran with it. I think we could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And since there's different types of, you know, there's art that relates to comics, we can make ours look similar, you know, we can make ours look like a comic, but not like that. And I think they've done a really good job. Granted, I haven't seen it outside of a trailer. I think they've done a really good job with that. And it looks interesting. It looks fun and comical. And I'm looking forward to, you know, taking the kids and checking it out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, April is April. It's all right. It's all right, folks. It's
yeah,
okay.
I'm just gonna look at the artwork and be like, hey, this is all, you know, and people are, they're just going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah. It's Twitter's an echo chamber for butthurt people, apparently. So yeah, speaking of which, some hot topics on Twitter. One of them was Chris Rock's recent stand-up, Selective Outrage. So a couple of things. Well, actually, I'm gonna let you talk about Chris Rock for a second. I just want to say there's no nuance anymore. Mm-hmm. Just want to throw that out there, but I'm gonna let you because I carried the turtles discussion. I'm gonna let you talk first because I have a lot. I
mean, there's a lot to unpack with it, but I'll just say this because I watched it today. I actually wish that I had watched it more than once. Like, I really do wish that I had gotten to it last week just so that I could have had more time like to watch it again. Because the thing about Chris Rock, this is just me being honest, like, I like Chris Rock, I do, but he was never my favorite growing up. Like, I remember even when I was younger, I was like, you know, I'm not really that much of a fan of, you know,
right.
I mean, there's a lot of people who are just like, yeah, man, Chris Rock this. And then I would like watch his stuff and I didn't find it funny. And,
yeah.
And I'm going to say that, like, I think the man is funny. I actually think he's very, very funny. My issue when it comes to Chris Rock is delivery of some of the jokes, but it's just that's just the way it is. And one of the things I used to always say, like, you know, Chris Rock's shtick is the tone of his voice. And it's like very Gilbert Godfrey,
right.
You know? And the thing is, it works really well on some things, but when you do it all the time, the delivery gets lost because, you know, like if you, when a word is used for a joke and the word is a continuing punchline, you know, until the final punchline.
Right. So
when you put the emphasis on that word and you say it a certain way, it's fine. But when a lot of your words sound just like it, it loses its punch. And that's why sometimes I think the jokes fall a little flat, even though they're well funk. I can understand all of them and I see the humor in all of them. Again, like I said, at the end of the day, it's literally just delivery. Like, I can tell that there's lots of thought and effort put into some of them. And at the end of the day, no matter what, the man actually is very funny and he's very, very intelligent. And sometimes I feel like if he did more storytelling without the shtick, they would be, the jokes would be funnier and they would land funnier. But also his shtick is what separates him from other people. His shtick is, you know, that whole little, that whole way that he carries his voice is how people know who he is. And so he has to do that. I get it, because especially, you know, you've been doing it for this long, that's what it is. But anyway, that's just how I feel when it comes to him in general. I laughed a lot more than I thought I would. And this time, again, no nuance. He just said all kinds of stuff. He did not care. Like, I'm just now learning that he's divorced. Did not know that. Like, I didn't even know that before. I was like, oh my God, when did that happen? Like, you know, and a lot of the things that he actually said, kind of, I was like, oh, you know, hey, I didn't know this, but now I know. Okay, got right. Okay. So I'm just going to say a couple of things. First of all, don't come for my girl Meghan Markle, because I'm sorry. Like, Harry and Meghan are my people. Like, I literally ride for them, because after really, really delving deep into what they went through, I'm sorry, yo. Like, literally, look at their lawsuit. They're not lying. They're not lying. Actually, like, I'm the fact that they had. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But my friend, who hates Chris Rock, and she thinks that he hates women. She especially thinks he hates Black women. Like, she went in, we had a huge argument on the slap, because I think Will was an idiot and stupid for the slap, and she thinks that Chris deserved to get slapped and whatever. Anyway, so we disagree on that. And she told me the other day, she's like, I heard that he made fun of Meghan Markle. I can't stand him. He hates Black women, blah, 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 blah. So then I watched this, I listened to the jokes, and I was like, okay, I don't like you coming for Meghan Markle, but these are kind of funny. They were kind of tame. They were pretty tame. And my favorite, spoiler alert, everybody, I love the baby joke.
That was funny. That was funny.
He said, like, of course they want to know what color the baby is. Black people want to know what color. We all have a stake in this, Meghan. We all have a stake in the color of your babies. Okay? The whole world has a stake in the skin color of your baby. The thing is, you're a regular person. I don't, like, I may have said this a long time ago, like, I'm not paying attention to what's going on in their lives. What, I don't care. But, and I'm not, you know, obsessed with that and whatever. But the joke hit so well. It was so funny because it wasn't a lie. It literally wasn't a lie. Now, like, obviously, I'm not the one living in that situation, popping out a baby and dealing with some racist colonizer family. Okay.
Right.
But to everybody else who's a random person, that was truthful. It was funny. It was, and I thought it was funny. And again, I think that some of those jokes were thought through, and it was like, this is where the intelligence comes in comedy and why it's important. And I would hope that they would see that and would take it a little lightheartedly, but I can understand not, because Meghan's mental health was involved in that. And this was a
woman who
has publicly admitted, as her husband did, that she was suicidal. And so that's not really something to be messed around with. But that joke was like, that hit for me. That was funny. I fell to the floor. That was the only one I actually fell on the floor for. Like, I was standing and I said, oh my God. And I just fell on the floor because I was like, oh God. Oh God. But okay. But as for like a bunch of other things, I really, really, really thought when he went in at the end of the special on Will and Jada, first of all, if he didn't go in on Will and Jada, then people would have been like, what are you doing this for? Like, this is what we came for. We didn't come for it. People, I think most of the people there didn't even come for the rest of the jokes. All they wanted to hear, they would have sat there for an hour and a half listening to him just go in on Will and Jada.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all they cared about. And there were people there who were both siding. There's people there who were like, oh, I'm here because I want to know what he's going to say about them. And then I'm whatever. And then there are people like, yo, I just want to know what he's going to say about them because, you know, because as soon as he went in on Will, everybody's like, you know, they're going in. They're like, and especially Black men. That was the thing. When they were cutting to the audience, the difference between black men and black women was getting very obvious. I don't know yes. how we're going to go home and have normal conversations that night. Like Baltimore, come on, man, Baltimore. So I was, when he started going in on Will, and he said the things he said, like, you know, who cheats on somebody and then interviews that person?
Right.
You know, I cheated on you. How did that make you feel? So I appreciate the fact that he was saying the things that a lot of us had been saying at the time. We all said that. We're like, something is going on between them. And it seems as though Will took it out on Chris. Obviously, Chris feels the exact same way. So he said it publicly. It is very clear Chris has no intentions of mending that relationship.
Right.
And I wouldn't either if I were him. And like, again, I thought that it was really ignorant. I didn't even, when Jada did her stupid, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have. When Jada did her thing on her table, whatever, talk.
Red table.
She said, you know, they need to talk it out like men, like brothers and healing.
I mean, my thing, like, so there's a lot of things that can be true at the same time.
Yeah, toads.
And I think a lot of it is assumption, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And this is why I was saying, like, there's no nuance, right? Mm-hmm. Because if I sit back and I kind of divorce myself from the situation as much mm-hmm. as possible, mm-hmm. there's a lot of assumption based on history. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Chris is funny, but unfortunately mm-hmm. he has a tendency, or he has in the past, depending on which stand up you look at, mm-hmm. has a tendency to punch down when it comes to mm-hmm. black people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel that he does that at the expense of us. Like he wants to separate himself, and he says things that would make it seem like he's trying to separate himself from, like, I'm one of the good ones type thing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so when he doesn't do that, or when he kind of treads the water, it's like, nope, this is Chris. He always does it, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Also, that clip that was airing where he was, I don't want to say allowing, but allowing white comedians to say the N-word doesn't really help. Doesn't help at all,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so there's things that he does that I'm disappointed in, and things that he says that I don't agree with and mm-hmm. whatnot. But in terms of his skill and his talent in totality, mm-hmm. he is a talented comedian, right?
Yeah.
And I think that part of it makes me not like his stand-up, because I think he's really good at what he does. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like, they want me to talk about this and I need to fill the gap because I'm not going to talk about this for very long. So here are some jokes mm-hmm. and I'm going to take some references here and there, and then I'm going to mm-hmm. put some jokes together. Because even though his previous stand-up, Tambourine, which he actually announces that he was divorced, it's not as funny as you would hope, but it shows a side of him that's more personable and more, you know, the storytelling and things that you were talking about. And it actually, a lot of stuff works. It's just not as funny because it's not as many jokes.
Yeah.
When it comes to this one, it's like, and for the people who are like, you know, why did it take him a year to say anything? Understand why someone would do that in his position, not only being embarrassed that it happened, but then also the fact that I can get a bag out of this. Like, yeah. We gon', you know what I'm saying? We gon' talk. But with that being said, it's like, you had all this time and this is what you came up with, being as talented as you are.
Yeah.
And it was mid up until a point. There was some highs, you know, the abortion joke, there's just a couple of jokes here and there that land really well. And then we get to the part where he's talking about Will and Jada. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this is clouded by his previous actions. People are like, he's always dogging black women. Mm-hmm. So when he starts calling Jada out of her name, it's like, oh, here he goes again. Mm-hmm. Me personally, while I don't agree with that action, I'm not mad at him doing it, because he got slapped in front of thousands.
Yeah.
I take that back. Millions. Millions of people. And it's been on repeat since. Yeah.
And you can still watch it.
Exactly. Like, it's been on, it's memed to death. People are asking him, what do you think? What do you this? Blah, blah, blah. And like, it's something that's in history now. It's a part of that history.
It's the part of that culture.
And you can tell that he was hurt. And this is even, you know, an assumption on my part in the sense that I think he felt hurt because he felt like all I was doing is telling jokes. If you didn't like the joke, you know, maybe something private, like something happened privately would have been more appropriate. This is what I'm thinking he's thinking. But like to do this in front of everyone in national TV and then just sit for the rest of the show, like nothing happened. It's like, am I supposed to be okay with this? Am I supposed to just, and so like all that anger and then seeing all the stuff online and all this other stuff building up to the point where he has to make a show about it. Yeah, he's not going to be kind, folks. Like it's, this is what it is. And this is how he, this would be his, how he would be able to retaliate because he's not going to fight Will. Like that's just evident. That's not going to happen. Even if he wanted to fight, they wouldn't allow it to happen. You know what I'm saying? So
celebrity death match.
Right. That's not happening. No. And so for him to joke in the manner that he does, it makes sense. And then, and this is another assumption. I think, like I said, people have assumptions and this is leading to them coloring the events, right? If he doesn't know that she has any type of condition and he's joking on her because he thinks she just got a haircut, right? And he's like, I'm a fan of Will. Like, I like what he does. He's not expecting this. So when it happens, he goes back and he's like, well, what did I do to deserve this? And then like some other people are thinking like, oh, this has nothing really to do with me. It has to do with their relationship and the volatile nature of that. And I was the person who was like, you know, on the receiving end, like just unleashing this on me. Like you didn't like the joke. True. But your action isn't what your action would have been years ago. Your action was more so because of all the embarrassment and all the other stuff that has been happening in your life. And boom. So I think like, whereas Will might assume that, oh, he's digging at Jada like he did the previous year, or, you know, he knows she has a condition, but he's saying stuff. And I think Chris Rock is like, I'm assuming you know that I don't know this. I'm assuming that you know that I'm a fan of you guys. And so I think he's hurt. And I think that he is lashing out this way because he was hurt. I don't think it was a slap and he's like, I'm going to make money off of this immediately. I think it was like, I'm hurt. I don't know how to respond. This has never happened to me in my entire career. And it's by another black man. And not only, not any other black man, it's Will freaking Smith. Like, that's a huge, I mean, I don't know if they were friends, but
not
at the very least,
not buddy buddies, but you know.
Right. At the very least, it's like, it's a respected thing. Like, like I'm giving an award to a respected colleague or whatever the case may be. To have all those things happen, it's like, what do you expect? Do you expect like for her to be untouchable in this? Like, I don't think so. Like, I think he's going to react the way he reacted. I just think that the jokes, because of his history of certain things, it colors the jokes. So we're looking for a more nuance from you. We're looking for a more reasoned thing. And what happens is now people are doubling down. Well, he should get smacked again. And this is why I say like two things can be true. Because while I don't think he should have been smacked previously, I can totally understand Will smacking him now. Just not publicly. Like I could totally understand that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite in the sense of saying that I would allow is a strong word, but allow someone to call my wife out of her name multiple times in front of me. It's not happening. But in the sense that I can also understand that Chris was hurt and someone physically attacked him. And he's verbally attacking someone else. That these are facts. Like Will actually hit him in front of people. That's, you know what I'm saying? So we can't be like, she's untouchable in this, that she has no whatever. Regardless if he had something, if he did something that's to egg Will on or whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter. This is just what it is, right? That being said, I think his stand-up wasn't that great. I think Marlon's stand-up, God Loves Me, was actually much better. Like, his entire stand-up was about the slap and is hilarious. It's one of his best stand-ups. And it's essentially because he's in the middle. He's friends with Will and Jada. He's friends with Chris Rock. And he is joking on both parties. And in the midst of those jokes, though, he does share, like, I was disappointed in Will, or I was disappointed in Rock, or I was disappointed in this, and what I would have done if I was slapped, you know, and like things like that. And it makes the stand-up very heartfelt. And the, you know, him being retrospective on like their past meetings and things like that. And while he thinks he was happy, low key that Chris got slapped, but also sad, like it, it gives nuance, the things that we're missing. Such a good stand-up. I recommend if you haven't watched that, especially after watching Chris Rock's, go watch his. It's on HBO Max. It is very, very good. And I laughed way more than I thought because, I mean, no offense, I like him in films more so than his stand-up. But this one was really good. This one was definitely really good. But yeah, I think it was mid up until the point with, you know, him lashing at Will and Jada. And I was like, yeah, do it. Yeah, say what you gotta say.
Good.
Like,
she's good.
Say what you gotta say. Like, I would want to square up. He's not gonna do that. So do your jokes and make money while you're doing it. This is the first live event for Netflix. He made some money. You feel me? So I'm not mad at it. I'm really not.
I'm not either. He got his bag. I mean, he did. Remember when he was wherever he was like, I'm not ready to talk about it. When he did that interview last year and he was like, when he was with, was it Dave Chappelle? And he was I'll talk about it when I'm ready to talk about it.
Right.
And it's like, great. And I'm glad that, you know, he got to get this event. I think that's great. But yeah, it was mid. And you know, I wished it was better. Again, like my critique on him is the delivery of most jokes.
Yeah.
And because I think that if the jokes were delivered better, then it would, you know, less shtick and just more. There was one, I can't even remember. Again, I wish I watched it more so I could have written down and pinpointed everything he said. There was one joke that he was saying with his shtick voice that really hit and everybody just laughed. And it wasn't even the joke. He just said the word again. He just said something again and then everybody started laughing. And I was like, yo, see, that's where it is.
Yeah.
That's where it is. And I'm like, because when you watch a stand-up, you want to laugh all the time.
Right.
And it felt, just being honest, this is kind of like, while I was watching it, I started getting these feelings. It felt like very Dave Chappelle inspired.
You know? Yeah.
It almost felt like Dave Chappelle wrote some of the jokes. And because I know him, I know the way Chris Rock tells jokes and they tell jokes differently. And Dave Chappelle is a storyteller, but I felt like Chris was telling a story, but still using his shtick voice. And that's where it was like throwing the jokes off for me. Mm. And then, you said it's mid. There were some parts that I liked. I was like, okay, this is a funny joke. And I go, well, what? Okay, whatever. And then it's like, okay, I don't really find this funny. Or, oh, I actually thought that was funny and nobody's laughing. I think they missed the joke because like, I thought, you know, like, so there's the part where he mentions that he's like, you know, my mother flew to Paris and then she sat down for lunch with my daughter and then Lola bit her. I laughed.
That was hilarious.
It was
that
hilarious. Was funny. And no one laughed. No one laughed. And I'm like, damn. And this is when I'm going to go again. I am not even a comedian, but I feel like I have some level of a critique. This is how cocky I am. I'm literally the biggest loser on the planet. And I love that. I love being a loser and then being able to talk like this because nobody knows me and I can't be judged. So, my issue here was that because again, we agree that joke was hilarious, but I felt like there were so many things that he said in between. When he first said that Lola bit the kid at school, he delivered so much information between it, again, with like, you know, the sing-songy voice, that when he delivered that she bit his grandmother, her grandmother, I think people forgot that she had bit the first kid.
Yeah, it seemed like they laughed, but like after, like, oh, yeah, it's a callback. Like, it took a minute. Yeah.
I was like, I heard it. He said, and she bit her grandmother. I was like, ah! I just fell out. And I was like, because I wasn't expecting it. And then I was like, maybe because I was doing something else.
Potentially. Potentially.
That's a possibility. But I agree with just about everything you're saying. And I went, while I was watching it, I actually said to myself, or after I finished it, I think it was after I finished it, I said, wonder if he could get slapped again. Like, because I found it funny that you were feeling the same way. You're like, hey, you know, if I was Will and I could, I'd slap him again. Because I get it. Because I was saying to myself, you know, there's a huge amount of people who agreed with him and there's a huge amount of people who didn't. And right. I feel like this was one of those things where you had to be really careful when you finally come out and do what you do, because all of those people maybe who stood up for you are going to be like, because at this point, without the stand up coming out, he's still the bigger person.
Because right.
He hasn't retaliated. He hasn't yep. said much. He took the slap and then went and sat down and didn't do anything about it. And then at this point, now that he's said his piece, it's like, okay, well, you said these things and that's kind of fucked up. But right. I still think that, just like you said, he has every right to be angry. He has every right to use it to make money off of it, because there's other people making money off of it. There's literally the main people are making money off of it. A whole bunch of other people are talking about it on their podcasts. They're getting paid.
Yep.
And he's just standing there and he's just being like, look, I'm angry and this is what I feel and this is what I'm saying. Again, at the end, lots of people stood up and they were like, yep, you're right. You're right. Because a whole bunch of people have that opinion. There's so many people that have that opinion that there's something wrong with Will and Jada in their marriage. And he went and took it out on Chris on stage. And we, of course, we all say that that's crap. But man, when he literally said, he said, my parents, when he said, I was raised, I have parents, and they taught me not to fight in front of white people. And I just said, he threw the mic. And I just said, didn't we say that last year?
We did. We did. And mind you, I get the criticism in the sense of, like, you know, performative actions in front of white people and whatnot. That's not what works in this case.
Right.
Because, yeah, we could say that's the joke and that, like, we're doing this performative thing for white people, like, you know, but it's funny because it's based on an older view of things.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly that's not why he did that. He didn't fight back, one, because he didn't understand what was going on.
No, like, at all.
He really was lost in the moment. And then also he's a professional and he's been hired to do something.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that everyone thought it was a skit is testament to how this went down. It was so perfectly chaotic. Like, mm-hmm. it was so, like, because if Will went up and tackled him, immediately people would have been like, oh, it's not a skit. They're really fighting. Yeah. But the fact that he hit him and walked away, they were like, wait, is this a thing? Like, this is, so, like, for Chris to be like, oh, wow, and we're still rolling. And, like, he's not thinking. Right. If this was BET, he still wouldn't have fought back. You know what I'm saying? So I get the commentary and I'm not even upset at that commentary, but the joke lands because it's an older view. Mm-hmm. We know he wouldn't have done that. Also, while I don't think he should have ended it there, like, I think he should have kept going.
I thought he was going to do touche, touche. I was waiting.
Right.
For
like, we were waiting for some more. Yeah. And that's where it's like, I think you had more time. You had time.
He did.
You had a lot of time to think about this slap. You had a lot of time. And I'm like, you are very talented.
Very.
You could have done a little bit more. I feel like he mailed it in.
Why,
like, I'm going to get the bag.
Explain the joke. Like, remember how we sat there and we talked about it last year? And I mean, I still could be wrong. My dissection of the joke could be wrong. But I said that it was an employment joke. He was teasing Jada for being the one person out of all of the couples, because all of the people who were nominated for Best Actor, Best Actress were all either couples or Maggie and Jake,
right,
who are brother and sister.
Yeah.
She's the only one up there who's not in a film, and it doesn't, what's his face? Denzel Washington's wife doesn't count because she's not an actor.
Right.
I mean, if she is, I'm sorry, I messed up. But no, I don't believe she is. So, like, but everybody else, Javier Bardem, Penelope Cruz, Jake and Maggie are the brother and sister. What's their faces? What is her name? Kirsten Dunst and Landry from Landry. Like, everybody nominated is a couple. And the joke was, what have you been doing? Because, you know, Will's nominated. You're an actor. You haven't done a movie since whenever. I mean, the last movie you did was Girls Trip or whatever, if that was
it. Oh, The Matrix. She did The Matrix.
And that was terrible.
Right. Facts. It wasn't good. It was not good.
That was bad. And so that's what I felt like the joke was. The joke was, hey, we've been doing this for a while. I make jokes on you. You're in the front row. You're not safe. No one in the front row is safe. And facts. The joke is everybody, all the couples up here are working couples and they're all in movies. He's get up for best actor. What have you been doing? Well, you're wearing a green dress. Your hair is shaved. I literally just made this joke up on the fly because he literally just made the joke up. He was given jokes and he just threw them out. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? Are you in G.I. Jane? Love to see it. Because the bitch is unemployed. I stand by this. I mean, I don't want to die on any hill for that. I'm going to die on a hill for the other topic.
Right.
But I really feel like that was the joke.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's all based on assumption because if a lot of people who were happy that he got slapped, mm-hmm. the immediate response was, oh, he knew about the alopecia.
Her alopecia. I didn't even know.
I didn't. Like, I think people are really overestimating the red table. Like, I think people are really, really, like, I don't watch that show. I've tuned in twice. I think one time to see what it was, and the second time for the entanglement. That was it. Yeah. Let's be honest. Like, that was it.
I had to look for that, too. Like, I actually had to go find the entanglement.
It's on Facebook. Like, who does that? Right. Like, it's not like it's a YouTube joint. It's Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, so I think people are really like, oh, he just knows. Like, everyone knows that's what it was. And I didn't know until the slap.
Nope.
So there's a possibility that Chris didn't know.
He wouldn't lie about that. I really don't think he would lie about that. People try to say, oh, well, you know, he did good hair. So I'm like, y'all.
Yeah.
No, I literally don't think he knew. And I'm saying it, I didn't know. And the argument me and my friend had gotten into, she was like, well, it was his business to know. If you're going to make jokes on people, then you need to know everything about them. And I'm like,
I mean, no.
No, I mean, I disagree. Again, I disagree. I mean, you're obviously, you don't want to be a terrible person to somebody. But again, that is why I'm saying, A, if he knew that she had alopecia, I don't think that he would have made that joke because that's just wrong.
Right. Right. It's because he typically punches down. He does. Mm-hmm. He does punch down. But I have never seen him make a joke trying to hurt someone.
Yeah.
Like if someone has show it to me, I have never seen it. I've seen him joke where I'm like, okay, this is a bad joke because you're making mm-hmm. fun of black people in a way that makes you almost look like, you're trying to big up white people or like you're trying to get in good with white people. But I've never seen a joke that he's done where it's like, I'm just going to be as hurtful as possible. Like to an individual. I don't think he's ever done that.
I don't either. I remember he joked on Beyonce years ago, but I'm not even going to say the joke was funny because I remember being back then. I'm like, okay, but he was making fun of her name because her name is Beyonce. And the thing is everybody joked. It was a common joke. That was literally a common joke. It's like, yo, there's not another person named whose name is Beyonce. And then he brings that full closure this time. He's like, Beyonce is the most beautiful woman in the world. Jay-Z, no. Like, you know, and I'm like, okay, cute. Like, it's cute. I saw your little setup. We saw that coming. But you're right. He had a whole hour and some change, or I don't even know how long it was, to really, really get in. And he could have done so much more. It would have been funnier. I don't know. I mean, again, I don't know who was in the writer's room. I don't know. La, 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 la. I don't know. But you know, some of the jokes were good. And I was like, this is nice. This is cool. Delivery on this isn't great. Okay, you know, this is funny, but it's not that funny. I'm not laughing. There was one point in time where I was kind of a little like looking at other, just like, so I'm distracted on my phone, you know,
right.
You know, there was a period of time. I felt like it was 20 minutes where there weren't laughs. It was just like,
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, the anticipation for it. We've been waiting for however long for him to talk about it.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Like we weren't trying to hear about your kids. We really weren't. Just shout out to them.
Time on them.
He did. He really did. Which makes me feel like he didn't have enough. Because even with his selective outrage, there wasn't. Yes. It kind of moved away from that, and then came back later towards the end.
Gave us like two times where he actually used the term selective outrage.
Yeah, it wasn't a through line through the entire show.
Yeah,
which again makes it feel hodgepodged and put together for this particular package to get money. Which I'm not entirely mad at, but I was just hoping, expecting more. And mind you, I watched the Marlon stand up prior to the Chris Rock one. So I was already up because Marlon did a great job, did a solid job. Next thing we want to talk about is The Last of Us. I know the discourse, man, all over, like between this and The Last of Us, I feel like this is what people are talking about the most outside of, was it Jay Morant and guns? Like, I feel like this is what people are talking about. Last of Us, the last episode aired, and people who didn't play the video game are now finding out that Joel will do whatever it takes to take care of Ellie.
As he should.
And people are like, yeah, right. And people are like, it's right. Is it wrong? Who was right? Who was wrong? And I honestly don't care about any of that because no nuance. It's a gray area. It's a gray area. Yeah. What I will say though is that I'm with Joel. Being a parent, I would have done the same thing for multiple reasons. A few of them, there was no 100% guarantee that they were going to make a cure. Wasn't.
Right.
They even said that the doctor was like, I think I could make a cure with this. No guarantee.
Right.
This will be a trial thing. Second thing is, there was no, because people love to say that Joel took Ellie's choice. They didn't give her a choice.
She didn't know
what was going to happen. And for the people who are saying that they would have given her a choice after he killed all the people that he killed, taking her out, you know, Marlene is like, and this is spoilers. I forgot to say that, but spoilers. Okay. I'll put it in the notes so you know, for the people watching. But yeah, Marlene was like, you know, we're going to allow you. You know, to get, you know, we'll wake her up. You know. All right. And we're back. Had some technical difficulties. Yeah, I got my camera fixed, though.
That is good. It likes to do that about like 1 hour. It's like, yeah, you know, we're good. We're just going to go fuzz now.
Yeah, I need to update, get a new camera. It's coming. But yeah, like essentially, you know, there was no cure, or at least there was no 100% that there would be a cure. Marlene didn't say that she was actually going to allow Ellie. What she was saying was that she was like, you know, she would choose what's right. And there's still time to fix things before you leave. But she didn't say that she was actually going to allow Ellie a choice. More so like, hey, if you put it back on the table, maybe we can still salvage this, is what she was saying. But even if that wasn't the case, we have to look at the fact that Ellie is a 12-year-old girl who's been told for the last part of her life that she is the person who's supposed to cure the world. And so it's going to be hard for her to say no in that regard. So even then, I don't think she has full agency on what it is she's actually being asked of, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, being a father figure, I know that he's not her real father, but being a father figure, most parents won't allow their kids to make that type of choice anyways. And then the last thing I would say would be, we don't even know if you guys would take it. Like we've seen with the pandemic, I know, shout out to David Jagno was talking about how, you know, people wouldn't even take the vaccine. You think they're going to take this potential drug from the fireflies, the people who've been bombing settlements and whatnot, exactly, because they're warring with another faction? No, because the people don't see them as the good guys. Some of them do. Some of the places that have been liberated and things like that. But other people are like, you're basically attacking the police. Even though the police are corrupt, you're basically attacking the police. They're not going to see it that way. So you're going to have to try to distribute this throughout the country or wherever the case may be. Most people aren't going to trust you. You don't even have a vehicle of delivering these things. It's hard enough just getting from point A to point B. And yeah, like there's so many variables when you think about it that being like, okay, yeah, just go ahead and take a brain out. It's all good. And like, I guess, but for someone to be like, nah, I'm not with that, like, I can kind of understand it. And if your argument is, oh, maybe he didn't have to kill everybody, well, considering how they went about things. The Fireflies were not ones to take a no for an answer. Matter of fact, every time we run into the Fireflies is after someone's been shot. If you think about it, if you look at the show, when they first went to meet with Marlene, or meet with the guy who had the battery, mm-hmm. they had just been in a shootout. And that's mm-hmm. how they meet up with Ellie in the, to begin with. And then on the previous, the next time they meet up, or they try to meet up, there's bullets everywhere. There's bodies everywhere. You don't know what happened. And then the, you know, those, the clickers come. After that, it's another, you know, like, it just keeps going. Like, it's very, the world is in a really jacked up place.
Yeah.
And not to say that a cure wouldn't be a good thing, but like hedging our bets on one person potentially delivering a cure at the cost of their life and not taking into fact, not factoring all these other variables. Mm-hmm. Is unfair to Joel. Asking him to, mm-hmm. to do that and just look at, like, push all those other things aside is not fair. And then it's not fair to Ellie because she's being told that you are the cure. Like, there's no maybes about it. Mm-hmm. She wasn't given an option before being put on the operating table. Mm-hmm. And even if they were to give her the option, she would say yes, mainly because you've been not brainwashed, but low key brainwashed her to feel that. You know, the fact that she went through all the pain and struggle to even get here is like, well, I gotta save lives now. You know, I don't think it would have been a fair choice in that sense either. Just because they might possibly almost maybe find a cure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, even on the Firefly side, I don't think necessarily that they were wrong in desiring a cure. I don't think they were wrong in wanting to do whatever they could to make sure that their people live. Mm-hmm. Just like, I don't think Joel was wrong. I mm-hmm. think this is just a messed up situation and Joel got the better of everyone. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, I would have done the same. Mm-hmm. You know?
I'm not a parent and I would have done the same.
Yeah.
Ninja style. Complete ninja style. No prisoners. You're all going to die.
I'm sorry. It makes sense.
They don't know what Joel and Ellie have been through. Okay. That little pep talk Marlene tried to give him and, you know, you're the only person who could have done this. There's no one else who could have made it from there to here. I had five guys with me. They're all dead. What, Marlene, you're also a ninja. You managed to get
right
there too. So, you know.
And she was shot.
Yes, she was definitely shot. And I was like, because when she showed up, I was like, dang, Marlene, I actually wasn't expecting to see you.
Right.
but, you know, my feelings, again, I know the Fireflies do not know what they went through up until that point. They have an idea, but they do not know what it was. Their intention had always been the same from jump. From the beginning of the show, she's our only weapon. We need to deliver her from here to here so that they can do some science. That's it. No feelings, yeah. No emotions. And then, you know, obviously learning in that last episode about Marlene and how Marlene knew her mother and loved her mother, like they were great friends or whatever, you know, their relationship was really, really close. Marlene already has connection to Ellie, and I understand from Marlene's point of view, this idea that not only does she have to kill her best friend, you know, she now has to sacrifice this girl who wasn't supposed to live anyway. Or,
yeah.
And there's emotion tied there. And I get it because, you know, well, Marlene says it. She uses words. She literally uses words and explains, like, you don't know how what this feels for me. I knew her mother, blah, blah, blah. I was there the day she was blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you're right. So you have some personal feelings too, which you're choosing to overlook. And that's fine because you're trying to say that, hey, the state of the world is so bad that another person dying is nothing. If we right. can stop this disease, if we can cure all humankind, because that's literally the same thing in World War Z. World War Z was the same. Give everybody some sort of curable illness
so the zombies stop attacking us.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were compliant in that world, just like they were compliant in Contagion. But as we see in our post-pandemic world, no, they're not compliant. So I agree with you there. The thing is, so it's like, yeah, Marlene, I see that. And I see how you are able to shut off your feelings because your experience is like, you know what? I'll do anything to stop this guerrilla warfare. Like, I'll do anything to go back to some sort of normalcy. And anything literally meaning taking this little girl's agency from her, which is really weird to me why that happened at all. Because we all know that Ellie would have said yes. Like, yeah. We all know that. We literally all know that. Marlene would know that. So this is not from, you know, a writer standpoint. This is literally just a rhetorical question for Marlene and everybody else on the Firefly side. This girl has known she's the cure, or no, I shouldn't say she's, but she believes that. She believes right. She's the cure because look at her with Sam.
Yeah.
She believes that she's secure. It didn't work with Sam, but she, somewhere in her mind, she was, you know, like she said, you know, it was foolish. Somewhere in her mind, she does believe that she is secure. Maybe it was just administered improperly. I mean, like she is the one who said, let's keep on with the journey. We got to finish what we started.
Right.
So there's in no world, in no universe, I don't think anyone should believe that Ellie wouldn't have said yes. So that begs the question, Marlene, why would you guys take that away from her? There's no possibility she would say no. There's no possibility that Ellie would have declined. I would feel like it would be more the medical people being like, hey, she has a choice. You know, like some super pro-choice right. woman is like, hey, you have a choice here. That would like put the, but if that was the case, then you would just take that individual out. You could take that person
right.
out of the doctor was ready to kill for, you remember? I mean, so it wasn't the right. doctor. I don't see anyone on the Firefly side who wanted to give, who would have tried to sway Ellie from sacrificing herself. And so that's yeah. where it begs the question for me, why would they do all of this to her without her knowledge?
Because that's something that people are missing. It mm-hmm. was never about her giving her a choice. Mm-hmm. So the people who are complaining like, oh, Joel took her choice away. The Fireflies took her choice away. Yes. Mind you, when she woke up in the car, she's like, I was with the Fireflies. I got drugged, or I got some drugs. And then I'm in the car. Clothes? She didn't even know why she was getting the drugs. She didn't know anything about operation.
No.
She knew any of that. So you can't be like they were going to give her a choice. No, they weren't.
No.
If she would have said on the chance that she said no, they would have shot Joel and been like, you drug her anyways. Like
yeah.
that's what it was. Like they wouldn't have given her a choice.
They wouldn't have. And that is why, like I said, I will die on the hill that Joel did the right thing. I will die on the hill. I have partners. I've already done my internet. I've already done my conversations on the interwebs. I have a whole team of people. We have a hill. We've chosen one.
Yes. Okay?
Mount Olympus. We're going to sit there. Come at us with whatever you got. We are going to defend the Joel Hill. We're going to rename it Joel Hill. Mount Olympus. I'm just saying, like, you cannot sit there and tell me that what he did was wrong after what he had just gone through. I don't have children and I still would have murdered every mofo in that joint. I mean, I don't know how far I would have gotten with my arthritic neck and my vertigo and you know, random.
It would have been tough. Like you said, stealthy. You had to be a ninja, you know, it would have taken a while. Definitely taken a while. And I think, I want people to understand though, that it's not, when we say Joel right, we don't mean like, this is a morally sound, amazing thing that he did. Mm-hmm. No one is saying that he's a good guy, even. No. It's saying that this is a messed up situation and he did what he thought he needed to do. And I would have done the same. Like, I don't think his logic in the moment was poor. It makes sense.
His logic.
It makes sense. There's too many ifs for someone, you know, because we think about this, your family members, it doesn't have to be your child. It could be your brother, your sister, your mother. Like, if there's a if, usually we're okay with ifs if it's a treatment that's going to save their life. Like if they have cancer or whatever, and they're like, hey, this is an experimental, you know, procedure, and there's a chance you might not make it, but then you're thinking like, well, this is all I got. That's when people say if, you know, but when it's like, you know, this thing could potentially help, but we 100% have to kill you. That's when if looks a little different, especially if you're someone who is protective of someone who's you're given I forgot what they call it, where you're in a hospital and if like you don't have, if you're not conscious, then they give someone else a power, I think a power of attorney, but I don't think that's what it's called.
I don't know,
something to that effect, right? And you weren't given a measure of anything, you weren't allowed to have any type of decision making in that process, then obviously the person who's protecting you or your guardian is going to make the choice. That's just what it is. Like, I have to sign those forms when we take them to the dentist. Like, that's it is what it is. And then for, you know, so I think that he's like, well, based on that, I'm going with this. I'm not willing to sacrifice her for, matter of fact, for a humanity, because y'all are all jacked up, but then also for an if and a maybe and a kind of, I don't know, possible down the road, we might have a cure. Like, that's not worth someone's life. You know what I mean? If anything, it would have been like, you know, we've done tests and, you know, in the next however many years, we can give you more definite. And I know science, you know, whatever, but, you know, if there's a little bit more concrete he can hold on to, then maybe. But outside of that, like, no. You know, he didn't even get to say goodbye. Like, no one's going to just sit there and be like, I'm just going to go home. No one is going to do that. And then the people are like, well, he lied to her. So she could feel bad? Like,
well, like, was that thing you said about the fireflies true? No, actually, I murdered everyone because they tried to kill you without your permission. But Joel, you know I would have given my life for the cause. Yeah, that's not your decision to make. Then whose is it? Well, that, no, go to your room. And,
you know, like I made an executive decision considering you were unconscious. And yeah, it would have been bad.
She would have been like, no, let me go see my girlfriend. You know, like, but no, I mean, I don't care. Literally, that is why we are camping out on the hill. We've got snacks. We've got weaponry. Like, I'm on that hill dying for this reasoning, because if the show, and again, what you're saying is correct. This is written. It's written. This is the game. This is how it works, because this is what they're trying to say. They're literally giving you, hey, it's not right to go and kill a bunch of people, but seeing what they've just been through, everything he's done is logical. So people sitting here arguing for opposite things, it's like, I feel like you're missing the point. I feel like it happened the way it happened because of the way it's set up. It's not even about writing. If this was a real situation, and you are a kick-ass man like this, who literally just was on the brink of death a week ago, this is what you're going to do. There's no contemplating. This isn't a type of thing where you're like, it could go either way. We just built up to every episode of what Joel's capable of. And we had two episodes prior, the woman saying, you don't know him. He's a killer. He's X, Y, and Z. Like, this is who he is. And so I don't feel like there's a question or a debate. Like, I think that everything that Joel did was on brand for him. Does he feel bad about it? Yeah, because he killed Marlene, man. Like, he doesn't feel bad about it, but he doesn't feel bad about protecting this girl who was put in his charge, who he's now looking at like a daughter. He's grown massive feelings for. And this girl was literally almost raped a day ago. Right. And I don't even really know if he knows that, because I don't necessarily believe that she tells him that. And then after watching the behind the scenes and how they said that, how they did it differently, and, you know, how they wanted Ellie to be her own savior, Ellie to really rue the day. Like, Ellie was doing everything. And then Joel's just like, hey, hey, yeah. I'm here to save you. And she's like, yeah, I did all my saving, but I am raising myself in the head. No, but for me, again, when we talk about him killing all those people, I really do a Samuel L. moment. And I'm like, yeah, they deserve to die. And I hope they burn in hell, because they tried it. They tried it and they're all dead. And screw y'all. Sorry, Marlene. You know, I like you. But no, no, because she, y'all, look, when I'm sorry, because this really got me in the car when she says, where are my clothes? No, no, that's not okay. She didn't know what y'all were doing. You drugged her and you took her clothes off. She literally is waking up and she's like, what?
And yeah, she has no clue.
In the episode prior, but remember in the episode prior when her friend comes in, you know, Storm Reed comes in and she's changing. She's like, turn around. She's like, you're so weird about that. This girl is a teenager. Teenagers are very, very weird about their own parents coming in and being like, don't hit me. Their own best friends when they're changing. Oh, I was a teenager. I remember being in the locker room at school and being like.
Yeah.
Okay. So that really, it just really hit me. It really touched me right there. And she's like, where are my clothes? They violated her. They violated her. They took away all of her rights.
Yeah.
No, I am murdering every last one of you. And if I had the chance to do it, I'd do it twice. The only problem is that he didn't have enough bullets to shoot them more than twice. I would kill you on repeat. I'll play this part of the game repeatedly. Over and over, I will kill you. I will murder you because you are all trash. Over and over. You will die again for what you have done. No. Mm-hmm. You violated my non-child. She's my non-child. You cannot violate her.
Yeah, it's bad. It's definitely bad. Like, I don't... Yeah. And that's the thing. It's a sea of gray. In perspectives on what's, because they're thinking they're doing the right thing. They're thinking that we're saving humanity. We are the good guys. And it's like that meme where the white dude is like, are we the baddies? Are we the bad guys? Like, it's like, yeah, you might be. Like, the way you're handling things, you might be, you know?
It could have gone a whole different way if y'all did it differently.
Right. And yeah, you kind of screwed yourself. And then also in terms of trying to be the hero and what it means to be that you would go so far, like, hey, we just got to kill a kid. And I get it. The world's dying. You know, people, there's very few people left, but it's like, nope, we got to do it. We got to save everyone. And granted this, you know, they only show you what you can see in the show. Like, they don't tell you what their plans are after that, but it's like, and then what? Then what? I guess it's desperation at this point, and that's why they're acting the way they are.
Yeah, that's the
Hail it's Mary. Desperation.
Yeah, and we get it, and like that's why I feel like it's just so well done. It's so well written because like I just felt like I watched it and I was like, "Damn, Joel!" But no, everything happened the exact way it was supposed to. I just feel like if it didn't happen that way, I feel like I would have been watching something fake. You get what I'm saying? Like, where my perspective about this is how believable it is.
Right.
Like, to me, it's not even real. That's why I thought it was funny when I was seeing the arguments online or just seeing the people posting their, you know, articles or like, oh, you know, Joel was wrong for what he did or whatever. And I'm like, well, everything just, if you ask me, it was very, very, very pretty. I mean, does y'all think it was going to end differently? This is how it was written to be like this, because if the Fireflies had behaved differently, we would have had a different outcome. And then you would have seen something different. You would have seen Joel really be that non-gray killer.
Right.
You know, this is not very gray. I mean, you can say something is gray and you can say something is off black. Okay. And this is right now we're in gray. That would have been off black. If they had acted differently and been much more justifiable in their actions, if they had had conversations and said, hey, these are the things we're going to do. These are blah, blah, blah. We want you to be a part of this, blah, 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 X, Y, and Z. And he still decided that he was going to murder a whole bunch of people and then take Ellie against her will. If she like that kind of off black.
Yeah.
Again, and it's still because he cares for her. I get it.
Yeah. Like it's, you're going to do what you feel you have to do. And then also if you think about it, it's because people were like, you know, he shouldn't have killed everyone. He should have just taken her and left. And it's how would he do that? One, but then also, and this is probably because he shot, you know, Merlene. It's like, well, he says it. You're just going to keep coming because that's what the Fireflies do. There is no stopping. There is no, and for good reason in a lot of cases, but that's what they do. Like there's no, yeah, like is he only had a yeah. And I haven't played the second one. I haven't played the second game yet. I know I have some things have been spoiled for me in terms of how Ellie feels about his choice. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even mad at that because she's younger and I mean, she's older in the second game, but she's a young person.
Yeah.
And, you know, being upset that she didn't have a choice is valid. Mm-hmm. It is valid. But even then, I still don't necessarily think he did anything wrong. It's like, my kids choose a lot of things and I'm like, we're not eating cookies for dinner. And I know this is much more graver than that, but I'm just saying like there's a difference. There's a, you know, it's not like they were presenting a choice where she wouldn't feel incredibly guilty for saying no.
Right. And there's, if we enter into their universe, let's not even just say it from our perspective out here in the world that we live in, but if we, let's think of characters inside the universe that would have, maybe even after getting to know Ellie, or maybe not knowing her at all, but there's still probably some factions of people who are around who would be like, we don't kill children. You know, like, we can talk about wars. We can talk about all kinds of stuff. And you've got people who are mercenaries, guerrilla factions or whatever. And then they have rules. They have rules. They're like, no, we don't kill children. It's like, yeah, but if we just give up this kid, we could stop the fighting. We don't kill children. So the answer is no. There are going to be people in universe who would feel that way. There are people in universe who would be like, oh, no. Y'all crossed the line. Maybe we don't feel like y'all should have got shot up, but if that's the only way he could have saved her, then y'all deserve to get shot up. There's in-universe people who feel that way. I'm just making the characters up in my head. They do. Maybe non-David Koresh men of a real church, okay? Right. Not that one who's trying to marry children.
Exactly. You know? And it's the same thing with, you know, on the Firefly side, because the woman who was chasing Sam and his brother, where, you know, they were like, yep, he's with you. And so outside of just being another mouth to feed, you know what I mean? So it's so like, and then you can't be, it's easy to say something is morally right or wrong when you're outside of a situation.
Yeah.
You have no claim to a situation. You don't, you're not in the moment. You haven't been hurt by the people. You haven't been, et cetera. It's an easier thing to do, but you know, just imagining being in this situation, it's like, nah, we're not going for that. Like, no.
And I know there's other people, like one of the reasons to keep it quiet is because there are people who would want to sacrifice her. There are people who have been going through too much who are like, I mean, just again, like Fireflies and like Marlene and everything. The idea is, hey, the world has gone through too much. We need to end this now. It needs to end now. And there are people that's a great reason to keep this hush hush. So that she doesn't turn into some person where they're like, hey, can we just drink a little bit of your blood today? Type of, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, like people, and she's a kid. So she's like, okay, well, you know, here's my, like, no, there are literally people like if they, you know, I'm just saying rando, but if they go back to town and for some reason it's found out that, hey, this girl has a cordyceps growing in her head. Like they might try to take her head and just hang it on a spike. simply because she's being controlled by the court.
She's a spy.
She's a spy for them. Like, you know,
there's no winning. There's really no winning.
There's no winning here. I mean, I guess, you know, people are making money off of this being a discourse. So I guess that's why it's a thing. But I feel like, y'all, why is this a discourse? It was written
right to
fall exactly the way it fell. Because if it wasn't written, if it wasn't a situation where we were supposed to be like, oh, Joel, there was a better choice. The Fireflies, again, like I said, they are the catalyst here. They would have behaved differently and he would have just, again, been off black. But the other thing that you mentioned earlier, when they said, here's your pack and a knife.
Yeah, he was basically being sent to die.
He was going to die. So they knew that he would never be able to get back to where he came from. However, whatever help networks he had to manage to get all the way there, he wouldn't have been able to rally them.
Yeah.
And that allows the Fireflies to remain in control. They had no concern for his well-being, just like they had no real concern for Ellie's, because if they had more concern for her, they would have done a little bit more in the package transport.
Right.
You know? And since that didn't happen, and that's why I always sometimes get confused at discourse. We started off confused. We're like, we don't know why people are being stupid about April, but I don't want to say people are being stupid because they're not being stupid. It's just that the people maybe, I feel like they're applying outside universe emotions and activities to an in-universe person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like that's just foolish because
it's something I say when a friend of mine, we would watch something like a horror film, right? And he'd be like, these people are dumb. And I'm like, you realize that you're saying that from the perspective of someone who knows what's happening. Like, you can see the monster in the closet because you saw him go in there.
Yeah.
But they don't know that. So, you know, like, that's, you have to kind of suspend belief on that end in order to understand, like, oh, what would someone do in this situation? You wouldn't not, like, going through what he went through, you would not just be like, they're like, you know what, we got to take a brain out. Oh, all right, cool. So what are we doing tomorrow? Like, you wouldn't do that.
No.
You would not do that. No. Especially not, like, you know, and like, and not even to be like, oh, well, did she say she wanted to do it? Did you give her the option? You just took her, you know, like, just nah.
Like, I'm also like, how many months did they spend together? Like, for real.
It's hard to even say.
Seasons, though. There was like winter right. And then not winter. There was, it was clearly fall when they were at what's-his-face's house, where in the gated community, which I wish everybody would stay there because that place was clearly amazing.
Right.
The amount of time that they were together, and I, you know, Marlene mentions that, like, you know, you've grown, saw, whatever, it doesn't effing matter. It's if the doctor, see, this is the problem with the transport. You should have brought the doctor to where they started, because at that point, nobody gave two shits about Ellie. No one cared. She was a headache.
And the doctor, well, maybe Marlene.
Marlene, yeah, she cared, but at the end of the day, Marlene, I don't know. You know what? Actually, I'm glad you said that. Because Marlene was the one who was kind to her while everybody else was.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, she was tied up. She was chained.
Marlene
was the only one who was nice to her. Marlene had, you know, she didn't tell anybody. I'm pretty sure that anybody who was in that situation is probably no longer alive. Marlene's party. So she's. So if the shoe was on the other foot, if the doctor had come to, was it Boston that they came from?
I think so.
So if the doctor had managed to make it across this country alive, what if, and then he gets there and he says, Marlene, she's had cordyceps in her since she was born and it's in her brain and I need to cut it out of her brain, turn it into medicine.
and give it to everybody. Marlene's a killer too.
She probably would have done the same. Mm-hmm. She probably done the same. Yeah. I'm pretty sure with them, because they kept checking every day, like, have you turned yet? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking she's having conversations with the doc, and maybe he doesn't reveal everything, but I'm pretty sure she'd be like, all right. Like, I don't think the fact that she was allowing her to be transported across country and supposed to just hiding her somewhere, because that's what they were doing. They've been hiding in different places. Even before she met the Fireflies, they've been hiding, you know, under people's noses for however long. Mm-hmm. They could have just sat. They didn't want to do that. So I'm thinking, like, she made up her mind, like, you know what? Get her to the doctor, do the operation, you know, do what you need to do. It just things went left and right and left when they were trying to get out of the city. But yeah, shout out to everybody checking out the show. I know you feel away, but it is what it is. I think Joe was cool. I'm cool with what he did. Yeah. I would have done it. I'm not happy that people had died, but he was trying to save someone. That's the gist of it. But yeah, shout out to everybody checking out our show. If you stayed through the whole thing, we appreciate you. Feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. If you're watching on or listening on other platforms, make sure you subscribe and add us to your RSS feeds so you're up on all the new content that's coming. We have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to discourse, if you will. And yeah, we're also awesome. So, you know, that's another reason you should definitely subscribe. Yeah.
Please do.
Low key. Totes. Yeah.
Remember to be kind, everybody. Be kind. Don't be a dick. # wash your hands, faces, and your butts. Wear your masks. Take your medicine. If you are sick, stay home.
Yes.
Please. And I know I get it. You know, people got to work, and I mean, I work. It's really sad. It's really hard out here. But please. Do all of those things. We really thank you guys for checking out, you know, our show and hanging out with us every week if you do. So we'll see you next week, guys. Bye-bye.